And episode number 9 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast is brought to you by the fact that it was so hot at the stadium on Sunday night that even if I wanted to get drunk, I couldn't.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
By the way, shout out to our VO guy. Maybe you've heard Dan Kelly's voice at Yankee Stadium because he voices stuff for MLB Network, and one of the promos they play in the stadium has his voice on it. When I sat Legends back in May, I heard it. I was like, oh yeah, there's Dan Kelly. Friend, colleague, and of course, voice of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Episode number 9 is here. My name is Ralphie, and by the way, what I was talking about at the top of this was a true story. I had a couple beers at Stadium Pizza before the Sunday night game. Everything's 3 for $10 at Stadium Pizza, even the imports now. 157th and River, that is the go-to pregame spot. Couple beers inside there, couple pops, pregame pops, and then I went inside, had a couple double tequilas, which we're going to actually chat about in a little bit with Mike Asurlis. And thank goodness I was wearing the Yankees Nike warm-up dry fit under the Yankee Aaron Judge Majestic Cool Base jersey, replica jersey, because it was a hot one Sunday night at the stadium as I watched quite the home run derby and got to give the old standing ovation Bronx cheer to your boy David Price as he walked off the mound and into the clubhouse to play a little Fortnite before Boston got out of New York, losing 2 of 3 and getting ready to go beat down on Washington, apparently. By the way, the Yankees winning... not winning another series yet. I'm sorry. They got one more game. We taped most of this before the Tuesday night game that the Yankees would go on to win. Bit of a different game for the Yanks with the bullpen kind of giving up some runs, and the bullpen certainly been taxed over the past 2 days. So we'll see what happens with this 105 game tomorrow on the 4th of July. But the Yankees rocking the stars and stripes gear. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. We have an update that what we're going to lead with. Mike Asurlis, again, joining us for episode number 9 here of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. iTunes, Google Play. Please make sure to rate, review, subscribe. PinstripeLanesPodcast.com and, of course, at Pinstripe Lanes on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Mike Asurlis going to join us. We got an update on the Odell Beckham Jr. jersey. Of course, OBJ at the stadium last Friday. We'll chat about that, and we'll chat about the next NFL MLB jersey that Fanatics is selling. I think this one makes a lot more sense than the Beckham Jr. 13 Yankee pinstripe jersey, which is a travesty. More of a travesty than the than just all of these ridiculous holiday uniforms that they're issuing under the guise that they're doing it for this or for that. It's a money grab. Just stop. And every sport's guilty of it. I understand it's not just baseball. It just especially hits home with me and hopefully you because it's our Yankees. The Yankees are rooted in such a rich tradition, especially when it comes to that uniform, that to see it just basically thrown away at this point. I mean, they could say, oh, well, we'll never mess with the regular day-to-day. What won't they mess with at this point? With all the different quote-unquote holiday uniforms, and they're bringing back that play ball weekend, so we get the stupid slow-pitch softball uniforms. Anyways, like I said, a lot to chat about with Mike Asurlis. Also on this episode, though, this was actually something I did learn Sunday night. The best alcoholic value inside the stadium. I know you're going to pay a lot for drinks inside the stadium. We all know that. However, if you're especially liquor, if you're trying to drink liquor for maybe save a little bit of money will help you do that. And if you've ever wanted to sit in a luxury suite at Yankee Stadium, this might be your chance. We got a lot. I try to tell you, a lot to get to. Episode number 9 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast right now. And welcome back again to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Ralphie Aversa alongside Mike Asurlis. I'm not sure actually where Mike is checking in from this week. Is it your Upper East Side bungalow, Mr. Asurlis?
Yeah, I'm on the Upper East Side. I'm about 27 flights above the city. I don't anticipate any ambulance issues. For this recording, we should be good to go. Background noise will be minimal, so all my fans out there, you know, they won't have to struggle to hear me this time. It's very exciting.
Perfect. Perfect. That was great. You actually received a comparison last week to a one Artie Lang, Mike Cassirlis. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel pretty good. Obviously, he's got great energy. It's a little concerning anytime someone compares you to a guy who tried to stab himself to death with scissors. But, aside from that one thing, he's had a pretty successful radio career. He's been in movies. He's been on TV. So who am I to, dispel those rumors? I listened to the recording myself, Ralphie. I thought it almost was a little like Dave Portnoy-esque, if you will, with like the way he handles his emergency press conferences and pizza reviews. I thought I had a little El Prez going on that.
You did have a little Portnoy, yes.
Yeah, but as long as people enjoyed it, they tune in again, I'm happy to hear the positive reviews.
Yeah, we're all the way to episode 9 here of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, as we mentioned, and we pick up this week basically where we left off last week, kind of with Odell Beckham Jr. and this whole MLB NFL crossover jersey thing. First and foremost, to kick off a very important midsummer 3-game series at the stadium against the Red Sox on Friday, as the Yankees are taking batting practice, they're taking batting practice with them is none other than your boy, Mike, Odell Beckham Jr. Did you see it? What'd you think of it?
Oh, yeah, I saw it, Ralph. And I'll tell you, I wasn't surprised to see him go yard during Yankee batting practice. Odell's a great athlete. I've seen him dunk a basketball. I've seen him kick field goals. Now we've seen him hit home runs at Yankee Stadium. I think he actually did batting practice maybe about a month ago at another ballpark, and he hit one out. I forget where that was. Maybe it was out in L.A. or in California. So, I knew he had some game. The guy's clearly a great athlete, but, seeming to putting on the pinstripes, hitting him out of the park, right after we spoke about how ridiculous it was that the Yankees would put his name on a jersey and sell it, I guess maybe this was a good move. They wanted to promote that line of jerseys. Maybe that makes sense. What do you think, Ralph? What do you think?
The Yankees ended up winning that game Friday night, so I guess in hindsight, I'm not mad about it. I don't need... See, the problem... And like I said before, I like OBJ, but obviously... OBJ's detractors, their biggest thing is that sometimes it seems that he cares more about what's going on off the field, whether it's the Nike endorsement or being a celebrity, so on and so forth, as he does with what's happening on the field. And so that goes completely, like names on the back of the jerseys, completely against the Yankee way. And so you don't want... This was my big thing with Giancarlo coming to the Yankees. I was concerned a little bit as to how his personality would affect that clubhouse. All of these guys, young guys, a lot of them came up together through the farm system, the Yankee way, all for one, one for all, this, that, and the third. So that was a little concerning. That said, look, the guys took photos with him. Everybody was laughing. Maybe he helped to kind of loosen the mood a little bit, lighten the mood a little bit, and they ended up going on to win and take 2 or 3 from the Red Sox. So I'm not mad about that. But a quick update on that jersey front. A, every single frickin' size is still available on Fanatics.
B, shocking, right? Who could believe that no one would want that jersey?
Right. B, we called both of these things, by the way, last week. Fanatics did up to 60% off sale, and actually for about 24 to 48 hours had the jersey marked down about 25%. So they're clearly having a hard time moving it. But then C, and again, we kind of broke the news on this. We maybe should have hired a publicist to get it out there so that more people could
definitely
heard.
Next week we'll get a publicist going.
Next week we'll get the publicist, but we had I did reach out to my buddy at Fanatics. I asked him what was going on. He said that he thought this was a part of a limited city run, and turns out there now is a second of these types of jerseys being offered on Fanatics website. This time it is the Philadelphia Phillies and Carson Wentz. So it's the home pinstripe Phillies jersey on the back, Wentz 11. I think this makes perfect sense because who cares about the Phillies fan base?
I'll tell you, I'm a little confused about the whole thing, Ralph. I mean, here I thought that Nick Foles was Super Bowl MVP or delivering the Super Bowl. Now all of a sudden they're making a Carson Wentz jersey. Who the hell is this guy, right?
That's a great point.
Hasn't even played 1 year in the league. Hasn't even played one full year.
If you're Foles, you're like the season hasn't even started. We don't even
the body's know not even cold yet. They're already putting the Carson Wentz jersey together.
They're not only putting Wentz on the Eagles, they're putting him on other Philly teams now. And you're Nick
Foles.
Super Bowl MVP. They really could have, and again, I think they have the rights to it, but if they would have really cross-branded it with the Phillies jersey, and they could have done like a Super Bowl champions patch and then put the Foles name and number on the back. Maybe that would have been something Phillies
people
fans
might have. You know what? People might have bought that jersey. I don't know who was running after my Carson Wentz Phillies jersey.
Mike, you know the Philly sports fan as well as I do. They will buy that jersey because it's a sham fan base, and they would definitely waste their money on something.
I thought you were
like
thinking they're all scumbags. They'll buy anything with the Phillies logo on it.
Well, I mean, besides the holding center in Lincoln Financial, but that's another story, I think, for another time. So, yeah, so I think actually Fanatics probably, that's probably more of where they're going to find their sweet spot with this whole crossover thing. Stop messing with the Yankee pinstripes, you're crying out loud. While we're on the subject real quick of Fanatics and uniforms, because we have a couple other topics to get to on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, we have talked on previous podcasts about the Stars and Stripes collection that MLB has, whether it's the Stan Sox, the majestic jerseys, the new era hats, so on and so forth. Yankees, I guess, are going to wear those not just for the 4th of July, but for this entire series at home against the Braves. They were taping this Tuesday evening. They wore them last night when they lost in extra innings. What do you think of the Stars and Stripes collection, Michael?
I mean, listen, as a Yankee fan who grew up on the pinstripes, I think anytime you disgrace the jersey, even if it's with the colors, you know, you put Stars and the NY logo on the numbers, I'm not for it. I think the hat looks ridiculous. Personally, I wouldn't. If George was alive, I'd hope he would veto that move. I like the American flag on the sleeve, you know, with that moving forward military style flag. I think that looks very nice. They could have just put that flag there. And I think the fan base or every baseball fan would have said, beautiful touch. We love seeing the flag on the jersey, put one on the hat on the other side of the new era logo. You're not going to get too many pushback, too many complaints. But when you start screwing around with the pinstripes, Ralph, I'm against it automatically. I don't want to see anything extra. I want to see our classic blue hats with the white and why. I'm not trying to see any Stars and Stripes. If the Braves want to do it, everybody knows there aren't real baseball fans in Atlanta anyway. Put whatever you want on the jersey. But the Yankees, we shouldn't be doing that. But nobody told Hank and Hal yet, so someone's got to get them the memo.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, again, it's, and I think throughout the baseball operations of the Yankees, on the field and off the field, this is where Hal's personality, sometimes it's a benefit because he is laid back and he, you know, will have patience with the younger players. But then sometimes he's laid back when he shouldn't be laid back with instances like this, and maybe he should put his foot down. I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach, though. I agree as far as the uniform. I think if the uniform just had the flag on it, we'd be fine. I don't mind
the
hat. I don't mind the hat. I will say, if the NY on the front of the hat was the regular NY, it would make the hat I would buy the hat. I would definitely
maybe get a hat with a USA logo, American flag with the NY. That sounds beautiful. Who wouldn't want that hat?
Yeah, well, I have that one. That's the one that they wear on 9/11. This one has the AL patch on the side, which I think is a great touch.
They slipped that one by me last night when they were losing in extras.
Yeah, no, yeah. Look at that one again.
No, I see Aaron Boone on TV right now, actually. I do see that patch.
Yeah, so...
The NY, though, is not for me, the way with the flag.
No,
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I think just the regular, you know, and then you put the AL thing on the side, and then, you know, if you want to do Stars and Stripes on the Batterman logo on the back, okay, but I agree. Again, the Yankee tradition being what it is, the logo and the uniform being what they are as well, I just think if you're going to mess with it, if you're going to mess with it at all, you really got to pick your spots, and they never pick their spots. It's like,
no, what about last year, Ralph? About last year when they wore like the 1974 San Diego Padres jersey with the nicknames on the back, and they went out on the field looking like a bunch of scrubs. What was that move? That was insane. I mean, this franchise, you know, they've left that mystique, that aura around the pinstripes, you know, where they have to wear the pinstripes at home, look beautiful. That doesn't exist anymore. They're wearing a softball jersey on the field, it seemed, last year. And I hope to God they don't do it again.
They are doing it again.
Ralph. Why are they doing this, man? Why? What are they doing this for?
Money.
Did anybody buy one? I've never seen one on the street.
I've seen a few. People actually have bought them. I don't like
suckers.
It. I hate it.
Suckers.
I hate it.
Yeah, suckers.
They looked great at CC's charity softball event. They wore basically the exact same ones.
If you want to wear it to a charity game, I have no issue with that, of course. But
yeah,
but to
go off of your point, that's exactly what they are. They're slow pitch softball uniforms. Don't put them on the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. That's ridiculous.
No, maybe on the road. You want to wear it on the road? I could look the other way. I won't think twice. But I feel like when the Yankees take the field wearing jerseys like that, Ralph, do you ever get the feeling like they deserve to lose? Like, you don't deserve to win a game. You come out dressed like that.
I'll tell you this much. MLB deserves to lose money on it. I think that right away. I think the same thing you thought, which is I hope nobody actually supports this and buys it. And by the way, if you ask MLB about it, they're going to tell you, oh, it's a part of the Little League Players Weekend. The players get to show personalities. We get to market to millennials. Yeah. We market to the kids. And again, it's the same thing. Look, every sport does this with all the different charities they try to do the different uniforms for, so on and so forth. Spare me the nonsense. If you guys wanted to do that, there are a million other ways that you could accomplish that same goal. This is about one thing: selling merchandise.
You want to market to millennials? I got a great idea. Stop having your pitchers hit in the National League. You'll see a lot of people tuning in, a lot more people.
Yeah, these National League fans. And of course, that's come to light recently with another Yankee now. It was Chin Ming Wong, for those who remember.
I don't know what it is. You're tagging up from third base. You're a professional athlete. How are you going to make it home?
And now Masahiro Tanaka. But I think that aside, I agree with that point. I think if you're playing a professional sport in the U.S., you should be athletic enough to be able to run 90 feet and not injure yourself. But that
it's just 90 feet, Ralph. It's just 90 feet.
Exactly. But that said, I don't want to see pitchers hit either. So NL, get off your high horse. Let's just put the DH in both leagues. You'll make the Players Association so much more happier.
Oh, come on.
That gives a million different people, you know, high-paying jobs in baseball.
And we know the Asian pitchers will be very pleased with that move as well, especially in New York.
I didn't even put two. You're right. It's two. It was, you know, Chin Ming Wong was Korean, and now Tanaka was
at least Chin Ming Wong was trying to score from second. This guy's tagging up from third.
You know what? At least I don't know how many threads still are holding his elbow together, but at least that hasn't gone yet.
You know, you're absolutely right. For a guy so delicate, they should have thought twice about pitching him in a National League ballpark.
By the way, for those wondering, Tanaka's got a rehab assignment on the 4th of July in good old Moosic, Pennsylvania with the Rail Riders, and he should be back up with the Yanks after that. The Yankees sent Johnny Lasagna, Loi Siga down to AAA. He hasn't even been at AAA yet, so he'll get to become accustomed to Northeastern Pennsylvania, and I'm sure we'll see him back up in the Bronx sooner rather than later.
I hear he's coming back up for a doubleheader, I think, that's coming up on the schedule soon.
Yeah, because we got those. I know we have at least one or two of those still against the Orioles.
Yeah, it's the Baltimore one, I believe.
Yeah, we're still making those up as well. Yeah, that's right. That's coming up this month. You're right. All right. So that's it as far as the uniform talk and the NFL talk, and hopefully that's that. But I think we're going to see more of these MLB NFL crossover jerseys, sadly. When Fanatics releases them, if they do, we'll keep you up to date here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. When we come back, I got a new jam for when I drink at the stadium. Relatively speaking, a very good deal. If you don't know about it, you need to know about it. We'll tell you about it next here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. All right, and welcome back to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Ralph Iaversa, Mike Asurlis. Mike, let me ask you this. We teased it to start off the episode. I have a couple different ways I go with this. But for you, when you go to the stadium and you want to grab a drink inside the stadium, what's your go-to? What's your normal routine?
Yeah, great question. And I'm certainly the right person to ask when it comes down to what should I be drinking, whenever that's a question. You know, like, it's funny. I got two go-tos. One, if I'm getting beer, if maybe I've been pre-gaming at the dugout a little too aggressively and I need to slow it down a little bit, I'm a big fan of the Goose IPA. I can't seem to resist it right now. And I even buy it for the home. So when I'm watching Yankee games at home, I'll crack open a Goose IPA. It almost gives me that stadium feel. You ever get the Goose?
I've never gotten the Goose, but I'll throw it on the list.
Yeah, add it to the list. The other move I make, and I'm not really a big beer guy, to be honest with you. Like, if it's a Sunday, 1 o'clock, you know, early game, maybe I want to take it easy. I'll get beers at the stadium. Or, as I said, if the pregame caught you a little off guard. But, you know, my typical drink, what I'll get at the stadium, or really anywhere I go, is I'm a big, you know, bourbon guy. If they have Bullet Bourbon, if they have Woodford, maybe if they don't have that, if they have a Maker's or a different kind of scotch. You know, I'm a scotch on the rocks guy. I'm brown liquor all the way. So, you know, I'm always getting cocktails. I'm getting it, you know, maybe I'll get a double sometimes. You know, just because they do give you that exactly precisely measured pour at Yankee Stadium. You know, they don't want to let any drips of alcohol go to waste. So sometimes you got to make it a double if it's a playoff game or something, or if they're playing a rival. So, yeah, those are my go-tos, Ralph. What about yourself?
By the way, speaking of brown liquor, obviously Jim Beam is still the official sponsor of the Yankees. They have the Jim Beam Suite on the terrace level behind home plate. If you have access to that, obviously then you get the unlimited popcorn, peanuts, and free refills on your soft drinks, and then they serve a number of variations of Jim Beam throughout the stadium at pretty much every bar that has liquor. So,
interestingly enough, Ralph, at Syracuse University, Jim Beam was one of my personal sponsors as well. one of my go-tos.
Fueled you through some of those dark times we had to endure with our football team, right?
Football team, you know, days where you don't see sun for 3 weeks, you know, Jim Beam gets you through.
Exactly. However, you know, as far as my go-tos, you know, I have a couple different things. I guess I'm not really consistent with it. Certainly, grabbing a beer and a hot dog, doing the whole Americana thing, big fan of that at any ballpark, especially up in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. Another thing I like to do, and I haven't chatted about this in detail a lot on the podcast, but especially for those weekend 1 o'clock starts, I love getting a Bloody Mary at the stadium. The Bloody Mary, And this is coming from a Bloody Mary connoisseur, are pretty good at Yankee Stadium, especially depending on which bar you go to. One of my favorite bars in the stadium is actually a bar that doesn't have a view of the field. It's the Tommy Bahama Bar, which you can access from the Great Hall right up the escalator over there. If you go into the Great Hall and then hang a left, go up the escalators, Tommy Bahama Bar, and there is actually a guy there, one of my favorite bartenders in the stadium, at the Tommy Bahama Bar. Bar named Tom.
You mean to tell me that Tom is working at the Tommy Bahama Bar?
Yeah, I feel like Mike, you and I have chatted about this before, and I've definitely talked about it on the podcast before, but Tom is one of these old school New York City bartenders. He bartended at the old Yankee Stadium, bartends obviously at the new one. He also bartends Knicks, Rangers, and concerts at Madison Square Garden. He's in the Delta level, the Delta Suite over there. He's this grizzled, like just old school guy, great guy to chat with. If you want to maybe sit in the shade over there at the Tommy Bahama Bar for an inning or two, chat it up with Tom, get a beverage, and away you go. Bloody Mary's there, pretty good. Other great spots to get the Bloody Mary, walk over to center field, the Batter's Eye Cafe, the top bar there, and the Frank's Red Hot Terrace, because they'll throw a little Frank's Red Hot in there, which I like.
Oh, as a Western New York guy, I know you're loving that Frank's.
Oh, you know, we put that ish on everything. Before I get to the deal that I want to talk about, one other thing real quick that I just started doing this year at the stadium. Now, this is a perfect little life hack, if you will, for those early April games or those early October games when the temperature dips, you know, it's colder than you want it for a baseball game. You're trying to warm yourself up a little bit. You walk over to a stand that's serving Dunkin' Donuts. You grab yourself a coffee. You have them leave a little extra room in it. Then you walk over to a bar. You could do this at any of the center field bar. Any bar pretty much in the stadium has them. Some actually even have the almond milk vegan version. Others have the regular version. But you go there, you get a shot of Bailey's, order a shot, bartender will give it to you, won't put it in the coffee for you. Go ahead, just dump it in yourself, and away you go. That's a nice little way to warm yourself up. I actually did that when Mike and I were at Calendar Day, which was the first Sunday of the home schedule, and it was freezing outside. All right, Mike, the deal that I'm talking about, though, that I wanted to highlight here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, have you ever seen these? They look like adult sippy cups with a mini Yankee helmet on top.
I have not, but now that you describe it like that, now I need to go get one. But go on, I need to hear more, yes.
I'm pretty sure every bar that has liquor offers this, but nonetheless, it's a deal where instead of paying, you know, getting a single drink and paying somewhere, you know, $12 to $14, the bars at Yankee Stadium now offer an option where you can get your cocktail in one of those aforementioned cups, and it's $18, so you're paying about, you know, $4 to $6 more, but you're getting a double shot. You're getting double the alcohol. So relatively speaking, as opposed to paying, you know, say, you know, $24 to $27, $28 for two drinks, Instead, you pay 18 and you're getting double the liquor. Now, I will say with the sippy cup, it's hard to get the top off. And once you pop the helmet off, you have to use a straw. And you look a little fugazi. I mean,
yeah, I don't like the idea of drinking my liquor through a straw, Ralph. Yeah. You didn't tell me this. You didn't tell me I'd have to drink it through a straw.
I know. Look, I'm just trying to be fully transparent here, Mike. Yeah, I did enjoy my double tequila margarita. Did feel a little fugazi drinking it out of a straw, though.
A little dainty, Ralph. A little dainty with a straw. And you can't take the lid off?
Well, see, here's the thing. It's a dome lid, like you'd find at, 7-Eleven with the Slurpees or whatever. And so depending on the bartender, they may over-pour a little bit.
So what you're saying is you just got to take a few big sips to get to below the level of the lid, and then once you clear the level, then you're good to go. You can take the lid off.
Yes, however, again, trying to be fully transparent here, taking both the mini helmet off for the straw and then trying to take the top off if you want a sip, both are difficult to get off. There is a high potential there for spillage.
Is it a twist? Is it a twist scenario?
No,
how are you getting it off?
It's not. It's a
snap. Is it clipping?
It's a snap.
Snap.
It's a snap.
It's a snap, yeah.
Yeah, so you gotta be, it's one of those
things. Could you take the straw out and drink through the whole, like a sippy cup?
Well, depending on how drunk you are, first of all, there's probably a high percentage of spillage opportunity there as well. I know you haven't seen the cup yet. Once we post it online, you see the actual cup that I'm talking about, Mike. You'll understand that probably looks a little bougie, a little weird as well.
Well, I'm going to have to get to the same after you use this cup. I mean, now it's been said I have to go. It's on me now.
Hey, again, $18, but it's a double, so it's really like you're paying $9 a drink. Relatively speaking, Pinstripe Lane's podcast saving you money. You're welcome.
Yeah. We're sorry to help you save money. I'll tell you this, Ralph. Last year is at the Wild Card playing game, get into the stadium. It was during the week, so obviously you're running from work, didn't have a full pregame as you might enjoy. Get to the stadium, me and my cousin are there. I'm like, oh, let's get a couple drinks, let's make them doubles. We both got whiskey on the rocks. The tab came to goddamn near $70. Nearly $70 because it's 18 times 2 times 2. And I don't know how the PEMDAS works out on that, but it equals out to about $72. So now it would have only been $36. That sounds like a great deal to me. If you're listening to the podcast, get to the stadium, order your drink in a sippy cup. You're going to be saving at least 50%, it sounds like. Is that right, Ralph?
That's right. And again, I got it from the bar that is across from the Jim Beam Suite entrance, terrace level. Any ticket has access to the bar because it's out in the corridor there. Daniel's the bartender over there. Very good dude. Terrace level again, behind home plate, right by near where my buddy Eric has his season tickets. Beautiful view. Big thanks to Eric again for inviting me Sunday night. You could also get this cup, I know for a fact, at the Tommy Bahama Bar, because now that I think about it, I have gotten it there before too. But Sunday night was a great time as I was there watching the Yankees shell David Price and put up a home run derby exhibition, basically. And by the way, actually, one quick aside, now that I think about it, Mike, I was watching back some of the clips from Sunday Night Baseball, those home runs. Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, I love him in studio, but in game, he is not good.
You think so? I'll tell you, I was watching the game. I actually texted a friend. I said, I hate Alex Rodriguez's guts, and I think he's a real crap Yankee, but I thought he was doing a great job in the booth. I think he describes the game well when he talks about upcoming pitches and pitch counts and positioning. I mean, listen, I thought he did a very good job on Sunday Night Baseball, and I'm a guy who critiques the play-by-play on the radio for the Yankees with Susan Waldman, just go splouting nonsense, and John Sterling, who was good 30 years ago, but some reason no one told him to retire. I thought A-Rod did a good job. If you put A-Rod in the radio booth instead of Susan Waldman, it would be a very enjoyable listening experience. I think he's a good guy. What do you think about that?
All right, here's my issue with A-Rod in studio as opposed to in-game. And by the way, just so you know, Mike and I know each other from Syracuse. We were both at the Whitman School of Management. I also dual majored broadcast journalism at Newhouse, and I did do some sports while I was at Syracuse. My problem with, in studio, articulate, makes his points, great. In game, Paul O'Neill does the same thing, by the way, on the Yes Network. All of those home runs, Vasgersian gets into the call. A-Rod steps all over him.
Well, yeah, that's definitely happened. That's a given.
Shut it for 2 seconds. You'll have plenty of time afterwards to make the point.
Okay, you bring up a very good... Ralph, you were professionally trained in this medium. You know, you're a radio guy. You're going to notice those things.
While we're on the subject of radio real quick, 80th birthday, July 4th. You know he's my boy. Matter of fact, I had dinner with him in Syracuse this past February with the New York State Broadcasters Association. Did that whole thing. Shout out to my buddy Ed Levine. And I know you don't like him, but he's my boy. Great piece in the Post by Andrew Marchand on the one, the only Mr. John Sterling.
It's not that I don't like John Sterling. I mean, listen, Ralph, all Yankee fans who grew up in the 90s, I used to mute playoff games on TV and turn on the radio in the ninth inning so I could hear John Sterling's calls. It's not that I don't like him. I just think if you listen to the Yankees on the radio, and I often do it in the summer, I actually bought a transistor radio. I probably have one of the few transistor radios in existence on the Upper East Side, but I like to sit in the sun in the summer, 1 o'clock baseball games, get my transistor radio, tune it up to 660. They never say the score. You're sitting there waiting. You have to look at your phone to access the ESPN app just so you know what the hell is going on in the game, and if you've been listening to the game for an hour, you should know what the score is. You should know what the inning is. They just go on and on about nonsense, him and Susan. I mean, I just feel like the best days of John has, you know, certainly passed us by, but if he had a better partner in the booth, you know, maybe we wouldn't be saying these things. Maybe we'd still love him. What do you think about all this?
Like I said, Sterling's my boy, and I will say, too, as part of that Marchand article, I didn't realize it, but I guess he had cataract surgery in the offseason, and so now he's finally, because, you know, before he had that big problem where, and that was why, and he's gotten killed for this, obviously, a lot. Oh, it is hot, it is fun.
Yeah, it's pop-ups to center field, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, that, if you've been listening this year, you've noticed it hasn't happened as much. I don't think he's using the monitor anymore like he should be doing, but he did get that cataract surgery in the offseason, according to that Marchand article, and I guess he's seeing the ball better now. Sure enough, over at FAN, it said the broadcast has never sounded better. So, if they were doing a national broadcast, I probably wouldn't be fans of them, but because they're both like such kind of Yankee homers, and I think Sterling's voice in particular lends itself so well to that like AM baseball play-by-play, like the cadence and everything. So I'm a fan, man. I don't hate it.
All right, listen, I haven't gotten my radio out yet. I got to check that 9-volt battery, make sure it's ready to go. We're approaching transistor radio season now that it is 4th of July weekend. I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to dust it off. Maybe over the weekend I'll give it a listen, and I'll be able to report back on the next podcast, you know, what I think of the new John Sterling with two working eyes. We're all ready to hear.
All right. When we come back, our final segment on the Pinstripe Plains podcast, if you've ever wanted to sit in a luxury suite, but you didn't want to pay luxury suite prices, you're going to want to hear this next on the Pinstripe Plains podcast. And welcome back to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, episode number 9. Mike Cerlis checking in from the Upper East Side. I'm of course, Ralphie Aversa. Was just sent this today by the guy who I mentioned earlier, my buddy Eric, who's a season ticket holder. Now, this is something that Why Hunger is doing, a great nonprofit that's run by Bill Ayers. He's tied in with Springsteen and all those guys. Bill is always on Mike Francesa's show every year around Thanksgiving. They do their big food drive then, of course, for the holiday season. For those less fortunate, Why Hunger doing this event at Yankee Stadium called Home Run for Hunger charity suite event Wednesday night, August 29th. Gates are at 5:30. Yankees welcoming the Chicago White Sox into town. I'm going to skip through all the sponsorships and stuff to go to the base individual ticket. Mike, tell me if you would bite on this. Now, keep in mind, too, you are making a charitable donation to Why Hunger in the process.
Now, when you say making a charitable donation, do I get to write it off of my taxes in April? What does that look like?
I am not an accountant by any stretch of the imagination. It doesn't say... Maybe if you click through, it tells you exactly how much, because a lot of these tickets, you've been to these galas before, they say a portion of the ticket you're allowed to write off.
Right, you can write off up to a certain amount.
Right, well, I mean, it doesn't say you can't write the whole thing off, so I'm going to say all $250 of this.
Well, that makes it very enticing now.
$250, one ticket to the game, you sit in the luxury box, You get all-you-can-eat ballpark favorites. So your hot dogs, your hamburgers, your fries, your peanuts, your popcorn.
What about chicken fingers? Are the chicken tenders included?
Usually the chicken tenders are included in that ballpark fare. So you got all
truffle fries? Garlic truffle fries? Are we getting them?
I think fries definitely. I think you're pushing it with the truffle, though.
Okay, go on.
With the truffle. So ballpark fare, beer and wine open bar. For the game, $250. So all you can drink, beer and wine, all you can eat, ballpark food. You're in a luxury box, by the way. And the cool thing, if you've never sat, and I didn't do this until this year, opening day, coincidentally enough, I was fortunate enough to sit in a luxury suite. One of the cool things they do on the suite level, pretty much every game, they have a different Yankee legend who is there on the suite level signing autographs and then going around to the different boxes to take photos with people.
Who'd you have on opening day?
I had Nettles.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not bad.
Not bad.
A little hot corner action on opening day. I didn't mind it at all. Mike, would that entice you? $250 to sit in the suite, all you could drink, all you could eat.
I'll be honest with you, Ralph. I'm just purely from me, you know. I'm a bleacher guy. I feel like whenever you sit in a suite, and I've sat in many suites in many stadiums, although not Yankee Stadium, I haven't sat in the suites there yet, but you're always a little removed from the game, right? The cheers aren't as loud, you're not cheering, you're kind of a bit removed, so you're at the game, but you're not at the game, you're gonna get some food. My concern would be, of course, Yankee Stadium being a little bit quiet overall on most game days, if it's not playoffs, as we saw last year, or maybe Boston's in town or some other big game coming up. My concern would be that you'd be essentially watching the game at home in the atmosphere of the stadium, because you're in a suite where people aren't cheering, maybe they're doing other things, you're not really in the crowd, you're not a part of the action. So my concern would be that. The other concern, of course, paying $250 for a regular season baseball game, that's like 20 Yankee games. You can go to 20 Yankee games and sit in the bleachers for $250 practically. So I don't know. Where do you come in on this, Ralph? Right now, I'm going to have to say I'm a pass, just because I don't really drink beer or wine at the games too much. Even though I did mention earlier, right, I'm a Goose guy, Goose IPA. But I'm going to have 3-4 beers, and then I'll be falling looking for a whiskey, and now I got a pay out of pocket. I don't know. I might be a pass on this one personally. If you told me there were legend seats, and you get all the, you can eat food down in their cafeteria, and maybe it was like $200 and it was a decent game, you know, I'd be a little more inclined, because you look closer to the action. But being further away, not being able to yell obscenities at people because you're in a suite, you know, that would be a few caveats for me. Where are you coming in?
Yeah, all valid points, especially the price point, because you're right. If you get that pinstripe pass or you get a cheap bleacher ticket, you're going to a lot of games throughout the season for $250. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, but I think I wanted to bring it up for, and this is kind of what we chatted about before. This is how I sat legends. I was able to get those legend seats at a charity auction. Mm-hmm. And you got to keep your eye out, I think, on these charities for when they do stuff like this, because at the end of the day, if you were to break down what just the face value alone of that ticket is, let alone the catering packages,
right,
if you ever, like, if you're dying to sit in a suite, and or maybe you have a grandfather or an older father or mother.
That's a good point. If you have an elderly relative, it could be a real sweet deal.
Yeah, it could be a great deal. It could be a great gift as well, maybe for him, maybe an early birthday gift or late birthday gift, whatever the case may be, whatever holidays are, you know, around the corner. So I think in that sense, it is a good deal if you're looking to sit luxury suite and you've never done it before. Otherwise, Mike, I got to give it to you. You really, you did a nice job there of breaking down why maybe you should. Although I will say too, I'll preface it as well with this. I mean, Why Hunger is a very worthy charity, and it is nice to make the little, the charitable donation as well.
You're absolutely right. You'll get a write-off on your taxes. You won't see the money back probably ever, but you'll at least maybe pay a little bit less come April, which is always a good thing. You don't want the government. I'd rather my money go to the charity than, you know, to the government. God knows what they're up to. So yeah. I think that, you know, obviously that's a better place for your dollars to go. And the Why Hunger, can you talk a little bit more about the charity, what the cause is?
Yeah, so Mike, Why Hunger, again, they try to raise awareness about the food shortage, the hunger issue that's happening. People that are living below the poverty line that you know are obviously less fortunate than us. Bill Ayers, who has been on the radio station I work for, 95.5 PLJ, doing the Sunday night program for decades, and is certainly a well-known person throughout the tri-state area. He runs it, and he has a lot of different major organizations and celebrities, and probably most notably Bruce Springsteen, who seemingly every year will donate, you know, whether it's tickets to a concert or if he's doing the Broadway thing and sign merchandise, so on and so forth, really gets out in front, I think, to the point where like Bill and the boss are pretty close. But nonetheless, Why Hunger is a very, if you want to find out more about him, by the way, and check out more about this event, Home Run for Hunger, you could go to whyhunger.org.
There it is.
Find out more right there. Mike Asurlis, wrapping up here episode 9 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Great spots as always from you, sir. Hopefully we don't have to talk any more football until August on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, and hopefully we'll get out to a game soon. Thanks so much, bud.
Absolutely, Ralphie. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Great job out of Mike Asurlis. Thank you so much for tuning in, for rating, reviewing, subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts. Hopefully we're there. If we're not, drop me a line. You can do that, right? Yeah, we got the contact tab over at PinstripeLanesPodcast.com. You can also get me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Pinstripe Lanes. We actually went live on our Facebook from River Ave before the Sunday night game. It was so cool. It was buzzing outside River Ave. A lot of people. Sun shining. It's hot out. The kids over on 157th, they cracked the fire hydrant. They had the inflatable pool. They had the picnic chairs. The Spanish music blasting. I love it. I'll tell you, Stadium Pizza, again, it's a Dominican bar. Everything's 3 for $10. The beer's the best. Love it. Love you for listening. Thanks for tuning in again. We'll catch you here next week for another edition, for big episode number 10 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast.